Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 151 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are beginning the insanity section, and once again, Palladium has surprised me. The insanity section, you see, is more or less the same in every Palladium book. There is some variation, but for the most part, it's the same kind of tables, the same mental disorders, the same insensitive treatment of mental health issues, again and again and again. What we've never gotten before, what we never knew we needed before, was a thorough examination of how insanity works in the context of a Palladium game. Why are people driven insane? How are they driven insane? It's a complex issue, but the author found, I think, the only feasible way to fully explore it, a long digression about the way different people feel about bugs. I've just been on a ride reading this page, and I can't wait to take you on that ride. But first, let me inch you up that first bit of the rail on the roller coaster, and then we'll all throw our hands up at once and just go fucking crazy. So the insanity section actually starts with like four lines on the previous page, but it is important that we quote them because the whole insanity section, minus the disclaimer we talked about last time, begins, quote, "All player characters are assumed to start off mentally and emotionally sound. Any insanities are developed from that point forward and are the result of mental, emotional, or physical trauma from events that occur in the game." This is 100% false. There is actually a table you can roll on the previous page, in fact, that gives you an insanity right out the gate. So great start. Number one, first thing, as usual, the rules we are about to read cannot be counted upon to agree with anything elsewhere in the system. Abandon your preconceptions. The right hand does not know what the left is doing, which would perhaps be due to a disturbance in the corpus callosum. I took psychology. I mean, I'm wildly speculating, but as we will see, that is not out of place in this section. The next thing the author tells us, after informing us falsely that characters do not start with insanities in this game, the author wants to tell us to be careful about handing out insanities. Don't just do it willy-nilly. Instead, we're meant to, quote, use common sense and logic. So that is the heading on the rest of this page, common sense and logic. And this section is actually useful because it runs counter to some horror tropes that you might expect to apply in Beyond the Supernatural. Quote, "Being scared out of one's wits is not grounds for insanity. Neither is being attacked by something that slithered out of a nightmare, especially if the character kicks its butt and comes out winning the day. However, being buried alive for hours or days, or nearly dying at the hands of some hideous thing, or seeing something horrific, like the sacrifice of several people or children." People or children. They're like people, but with fewer calories. Slow death by something sick and disgusting, and witnessing or experiencing torture or something truly abhorrent, i.e. the worst thing most people could imagine. These may be grounds for insanity. Use yourself as the barometer. If you think some particular experience would send you off the deep end, then it's probably fair to assume the same thing will happen to the player character and assign him an insanity. So a couple big things here. First of all, you're not going to go insane from terror, and you're not going to go insane from encountering the supernatural per se. That already is a big change from some of the source material, where you would expect intense fear and contact with the inexplicable to be big sources of sort of Lovecraft-style madness. That's an approach to madness more appropriate to, like, gothic or cosmic horror, and that's not really what this is. Trenchcoat horror may be that, but Beyond the Supernatural specifically is not. Beyond the Supernatural, it's about trauma. Like, there's a big part of this game that's about fighting monsters with big chunky guns, and in keeping with that, you're going to go insane not because you couldn't comprehend the color from out of space. You're going to go insane because a demon captured you at the end of an encounter gone sideways and jammed a bunch of spikes in your shit over a few days' time. Or you didn't come up with a clever enough plan to attack the vampire lord, and so the GM punishes you for your bad planning by having the vampire massacre the town in front of you. That kind of stuff. Regardless of whether we're talking about extreme trauma, encounters with the alien, the extremes of human fear, these are all rare and intense experiences that people have, which is why it's surprising to see at the end of this paragraph the author say, quote, "Use yourself as the barometer. If you think some particular experience would send you off the deep end, then it's probably fair to assume the same thing will happen to the player character." As though you would just know. As though you can just sort of put yourself into the shoes of a person who has just witnessed the execution of 2 dozen people, or children, 4 dozen children, because they're like half as big. If that happened to you, just real quick, kind of run it through your mind, do you think you would go insane? And if so, like, what kind of insanity? Like, would you be afraid of boats, something like that? Hate music and musicians, you know, need to wash your hands a lot, believe yourself to be beyond mortal law. Just, you know, a little bit of introspection, a little self-inventory, what would happen to you? And then once you know, then just apply it to the game. Common sense and logic. I have no such confidence in my own powers of introspection, but maybe that's my problem, because the author clearly has no such issues. In fact, he feels comfortable using himself not only as the barometer for his own game and his own mental health, but as the universal barometer for everybody. As we will see in what comes next, an extended riff about how bugs relate to insanity. Here's the connection. Quote, "Also take into consideration the character's personality and the way he/she has been played. Let's use this common real-life example. I know many people, male and female, who are scared of or hate bugs, especially spiders, worms, cockroaches, and other, quote, creepy crawlers." Really, this should be in the Kevin Cimbita voice because it's first person. "Heck, I've known women who don't even want anything as harmless as a moth or grasshopper near them. Now imagine such a person being plunged from head to toe into a vat full of live, disgusting insects. They'd freak out. And here comes an example of freaking out without getting an insanity. The threat of it happening, it nearly happening, and even being dropped into the vat of living vermin for 1 to 10 minutes. It wouldn't be Kevin Cimbita if it were not a random scale. It's like the demon lord, the prince of filth, is holding a D10, and he's like, "Lower her, my minions, for..." Rolls die. 8 minutes into the living vermin. "Even being dropped into the vat of living vermin for 1 to 10 minutes will cause the individual to scream and squirm and try to escape, if possible, but it's not going to drive them nuts. However, being completely covered in the insects for an hour or more..." Remember, 61 minutes. That is the breaking point of the mortal spirit. The human soul is stress tested for 60 minutes of bug immersion. After that, not only will you go mad, you also void the warranty. So even if you don't go mad, you're paying out of pocket for future repairs. Don't get immersed in bugs. Before you go swimming in bugs, remove all humans from your pocket. Oh, my weird fucking podcast. Okay. "Being completely covered in the insects for an hour or more, or being buried alive with them, or believing the insects will eat him alive, that might give a character a lasting phobia about bugs or being buried alive, or both. However, it would not have that effect on everyone. Staying with the real-life analogy, I like bugs." Reconsider your choices as a designer when you find yourself devoting a paragraph of your book to the real-life example of you, the real-life author, enjoying insects. But here we go. "Yep, Kevin Cimbita is a bug guy. As a kid, I used to catch, collect, study, and even raise bugs. I've read up on them and handled them and find them fascinating. I know which ones are dangerous and which ones aren't, which is most insects found in urban settings, by the way. So while being lowered into a vat of cockroaches or worms or maggots would be disgusting, it wouldn't freak me out. Number one, I know they're harmless. Number two, they don't scare me or revolt me. I'd be fine." So there's a ton to unpack here. I guess what the author's trying to get across here is there are lots of people who hate bugs. Imagine a woman being plunged from head to toe into a vat full of live, disgusting insects. Now, keep in mind, this was written in 2005. Nowadays, you don't have to imagine. You just get on the internet. You don't even have to go to a premium site. Women covered head to toe in squirming insects is like one of the top 10 searches on Pornhub. So go crazy. Familiarize yourself. If you imagine that happening, and to specify, imagine a woman who is scared of bugs being dropped into a vat of squirming live bugs for 1 to 10 minutes. She will scream. She will squirm. She will try to escape. That's true in real-life bug immersion as it is in dramatized porno bug immersion. What she won't do, per Kevin Cimbita, is go insane. It's gross. It's disgusting. It apparently super does it for some people. Maybe Kevin Cimbita? Question mark. But it is not insanity-inducing. Now, if you completely cover the woman with insects, and then you leave her for an hour, rather than the 1D 10 minutes we were talking about before, or you bury her alive with the insects, or if she is under the misapprehension that the bugs are going to eat her alive, then it might create a phobia. So this may be a skill roll. If you got thrown into a pit of bugs, the GM may call upon you to roll entomology to see if you know those bugs can't eat you. And if you fail that roll, then you may go insane just out of the anxiety of uncertainty. Maybe you get thrown into a big pit of insects that you only kind of know about, like centipedes or something, and you fail your entomology roll and you don't know how to act. You know, I would believe it if someone told me a million centipedes altogether can kill you, but I don't know that to be the case. So if I freak out and start scrambling, am I going to look real stupid to all my friends? That's social anxiety. You may die or suffer severe mental trauma just out of the social anxiety of not knowing how to react to the centipedes. this is the most relatable scenario for me personally. This is why I always avoid centipedes and other living things. But yeah, so it's like extended exposure, like aggravated exposure to them, or uncertainty. So it may actually come down to skill and knowledge, which, as always, when we start talking about skill and knowledge, the first name that comes to mind is Kevin Sambita. Kevin Sambita is himself a bug guy. Not to brag, but Kevin Sambita knows a lot about bugs. He's done a lot of reading. He's done a lot of research. He's familiarized himself with cockroaches and maggots and so on. I mean, I don't think he's bragging here, but that's just the fact is he's a guy who knows a lot about bugs and isn't scared of them at all. Like, not like women are. He's super tough and interested in bugs and just kind of treats them like little friends and has like trivia to share with them. Like, if you're interested, he could tell you a lot about bugs if you were interested. So number one, he likes them. So even if Kevin Sambita were buried alive with bugs, it would be no problem. You would release him from his coffin full of squirming centipedes an hour later, and he'd just be chilling out in there, like on his phone, reading about Vietnam-era fighter planes or something, just having a relaxing break with the centipedes. Number two, he knows a lot about bugs, and so unlike a hapless woman who's scared of moths, Kevin Sambita knows that a centipede can't eat you, like presuming that a centipede can't eat you. TBD. I personally don't know if centipedes en masse can kill you, but let's assume that they can't. Kevin Sambita knows that. And so he's not scared, and he can stand up to it. He's never going to be driven insane by any number of centipedes. Does that mean that Kevin Sambita could never be driven insane by bug-related phenomena? No. To say that would be hubris. Quote, "Now if I was confronted by a supernatural creature whose body was composed of living insects, and or the insects looked alien or behaved in an unnatural way, or had weird powers, that might freak me out, and might traumatize me to the point that I would get a lasting insanity from the experience. Though, not likely if the bugs turned out to be harmless." So, the dumbest thing on this page, the thing that kills me about this, not likely. As we've discussed on the podcast before, Kevin Sambita's special gift as an author and a designer is that there are questions that I wouldn't even know how to begin to answer about myself and about the world I live in, that Kevin Sambita can somehow answer down to the percentage point. I absolutely believe that if you walked up to Kevin Sambita on the street today and said, "Excuse me, Mr. Sambita, would you go insane if a bug monster dipped you in maggots, assuming those maggots later turned out to be harmless?" He would say, 32% chance, next question. No hesitation, just like that. He just knows. It's a magical gift. And he's trying to convey it to the reader on this page. That's what's so funny. I do think that to the man himself, to Kevin Sambita, with his special gift, it is perfectly obvious to him what kind of situation would drive someone insane and what kind wouldn't. And he's trying to get across to the reader how you too can show this amazing insight and apply it to the game. It's just, after all, quote, common sense and logic. It's a magical gift that cannot be conveyed. It's as simple as that. Despite Sambita's best efforts, this page tries and fails to give all of us the magical gift of perfect certainty about the effects of hypothetical and fantastical trauma upon ourselves and others. And I think particularly the author's unhesitating boldness in estimating the probability that being covered in scary but harmless alien bug monsters would drive him insane, that's got to be the dumbest thing on this page. I can't understand. I can't understand the bug thing. But then I am not sophisticated pest fancier Kevin Sambita, so it is not mine to understand. Join me next time as the insanity section continues, and we don't talk about it because we've got other weirder matters to address on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.